Hi, my name is Sias, and I'm very excited to share this module on church planting with you. And wow, what a passionate thing to do, what a great thing to do, to be able to fulfill the Great Commission. And all of us have been called to do that. All of us should be part, and that's part of our culture. You know, I'm the director for missions and church planting, and I don't like all the titles, but it's so great to be part of a movement, an apostolic movement, that wants to see God's glory cover the earth like the waters cover the sea. And so as we embark on this journey together, let's find some practical ways, and let's begin to see to God, Lord, I want to know you, and we want your glory to shine through the earth. And so as I invite you to come, let's discover this road together, and also begin to establish your giftings and my giftings so that we can be team players in the kingdom of God. God has called us to be apostles, and apostles means sent ones. He wants us to be an apostolic movement where we can be people that represent him in the earth, and we are commissioned to do the work of God, to do the will of God. And as part of this church planting model and coming to the place of fulfilling God's heart into the nations, it's so important that you and I align ourselves to the fullness of God, and especially to bring his glory in the earth. You know, scripture says that the whole earth shall be full of his glory. And I don't know about you, but I really want to see God's glory manifest in the earth, and God's fullness, and especially that every tribe and every tongue will be able to stand before him one day and worship him and say, truly, there's a God that lives. He's alive. He's not a dead God. He's not just another religion. And so that's why when Jesus came right at the beginning, he came, and the scripture says that he was the Word made flesh that came to dwell among us. We beheld his glory. It was he came to tabernacle here with us on earth. And in the same way, we have got that responsibility to represent him. Jesus said right at the end, he said, we must go into all the world. We must make disciples of all the nations. And he's given us authority to do that. And as we make disciples, it means we are followers of Christ. And as we embark to learn what it means to spread his glory, it is so important that you and I step into the fullness of God. And we step into that place of saying, yes, Lord, we also want to be part of the Abrahamic covenant. Because I just can imagine Abraham standing there under the sky and saying, Lord, these stars, these promises, it just seems so impossible. But God said to Abraham, Abraham, in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. It wasn't like maybe, or if you think of being blessed or consider being blessed. He says, in you, Abraham, I have created the opportunity and the abilities and the possibilities. When you start to follow me and when you start to look at my promises, and especially when you know covenant relationship, then I'm going to make the nations come to you. And so that's our challenge, because part of this commission, the Great Commission, is the fact that you and I are sent every day. When we go to our workplace, into our relationships, not just when we have a church meeting or an event, because there's too much churchianity going on. There's too much like events that just have a great emotional experience, but we don't connect with God and realize, wow, God wants me to establish a culture of his glory in the workplace. Wherever I go, I can see the kingdom of God come, and I can realize, wow, I am his son, I am his daughter, and I represent him. I'm an ambassador. And you know, if an ambassador comes to our nation and says, this is what my nation says, I declare war, then it means that's what's happening. Why? Because there's full representation. And so as we talk about church planting and establishing a culture in our lives, you and I have a responsibility. Because it also says in Matthew that, you know, when this gospel has been preached in all the earth, then the end will come. So we can almost like hasten the coming of Jesus Christ. The more we preach the gospel in and out of season, the more you and I begin to realize that we have the opportunity to represent him and to bring his fullness into every community. And there are so many people that are desperate for God. There are so many people that are looking out just for the real Jesus. And I'm always challenged by what Jesus asked Peter when he stood in front of him and he said, Peter, who do you say that I am? And Jesus obviously had this look in his face, and he was really like, because the people were saying a lot of things. The people said he was a prophet. The people said he was Elijah. There were many names given to Jesus. But the most amazing thing is Peter stands in front of him and says, you are the Christ. You are the Son of the living God. And therefore, we need to walk in that anointing. We need to walk in the place where you and I know that He is a living God. He's not a dead God. And therefore, we can walk into the fullness of God when we start to represent Him in the earth. That's where we also find in Revelation chapter 7, verse 9. It says that in front of God is going to be a whole group of people. Some are going to be very noisy, I think some of the Africans, and then we have some of the more reserved people up there from Europe or from wherever you are. But there's going to be a bunch of people making a lot of noise, and some are going to blow trumpets and some are going to dance. But I can just imagine from every tribe and every tongue and every nation, people representing God and standing in front of Him and worshiping Him. And when Scripture talks about this whole thing of the nations, make disciples of the nations in Matthew chapter 28, then that word for nations is actually with ethos or ethnos. Both of them are sometimes used in that place of being an ethnic group. So it's not just talking about the nations as we know it with the boundaries where we have, for instance, South Africa that has got the different provinces and there's specific boundaries, but every tribe and every tongue will be represented. And that's very simply our call, is to make disciples of the ethnic groups of the nations. And it's a great challenge, because most Christians today, what we do is we want to be in a comfort zone. We want to enjoy our life. And what we actually say is we say, God, you come and bless me. You come and do in my life and serve me, because this is my plan and you maybe have a plan, but really I'm in a comfort zone. And our challenge is to reach the nations. And to go out into the generations and say, yes, God, we want to be part of your fullness and of your life. And that's our challenge. And we're going to look at some statistics, because it's so important to see what God is doing, because His glory is truly all over the earth. It's amazing when the angels stand before the throne of God, they say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is full of His glory. I don't know about you, but sometimes I think like, whoa, Lord, there's so much nonsense going on. There's so many world wars and things and just people killing each other and negative things. But when the angels worship God, they say the whole earth is full of His glory, because truly God is doing stuff in the nations and God is moving. You're not always going to see it on television, but very simply, God is moving. And there are 16,500 ethnic groups. We learned about ethnic groups and the fact that it's languages and different tribes. And there are many nations that has never been reached. Many ethnic groups that are really in a challenge. And that's why our call is to reach those people. God is doing a lot of things, and many people are laying down their lives, like the Hudson Taylors that went to China and they saw God's move and sort of infiltrated the community and changed the whole of China. We see a massive revival in China today. You know, the biggest challenge for us is in an area called the 1040 window. There's a whole area between the degrees of the number 10 and 40, and there's so many people there that are lost that have never heard the gospel. There's specifically nations like India and Pakistan, China, Bangladesh and Nepal, where there are many people that has never heard of God, and especially groups that have never been reached. And remember, all these groups must be reached before Jesus can come back. And that's why the challenge is for us is to start to adopt and start to pray and start to intercede. I want to challenge you to find a nation that will start to pray for. I remember going to India, up into the places right in the north and in the east. There are many tribes that are still cannibals and they eat other people, walk around naked. And it's amazing to partner also with ministries that know and reach out and pray for these tribes and go to these tribes at least once a year. And our challenge as Christians is not just to have a nice church existence, but to reach those nations, reach those groups, get out there through our finances, through our praying, through whatever we do. There's a group in India specifically that are 6.3 million people, the Lodas. You know, they've 6.3 million people have never heard the gospel. They've never heard the name of Jesus. In the same, in our world, out of the almost 7 billion people, just more than 7 billion people, there are 2 billion people that have never met a Christ follower. They've never heard of the name of Jesus. And that's our responsibility. We cannot just sit around and say, well, maybe, you know, I've got so many problems. I've got so many things. I think it was John G. Lake that said, it's a sin to preach the gospel to the same person twice while most of the world has not heard it once. And yes, some people say, well, why should we go? Why should we reach out to those nations while there's so many problems in our own backyard? I want to say to you, that is nonsense. Yeah? God said, go to all the nations. Yes, we reach out to our own backyard, but let's not fight with those 10% of the church that want to go and still will lay down their lives out there. So maybe you can't go practically. Maybe you're old, or maybe you're young, or I don't know, maybe finances. But there's no excuse for us to start praying and to trust God. And so when we talk also about languages, you know, there are lots of tribes and ethnic groups that have never had a Bible to read in their own language. There's around about 2,100 groups that have not got a part of the gospel that they can read. So we see our missionaries are working day and night, and some are laying down their lives to get into those communities and translate the Bible. And so let's pray for that as well. I just want to give us some stats on world religions and what's happening. You know, the fastest growing world religion is Islam. It's growing very fast. If you look at a nation like Italy, the growth rate of a normal Italian that was born in Italy is 0.8 for every two parents. Okay, so it's negative. But for Islam that are targeting Europe at the moment, they're sending people there to marry wives and to marry husbands. The growth rate is around about 4.5 or 4.8 per two parents. So just estimate yourself, around about 2025, Europe will probably be Islam, you know, will be Muslim, just because of natural growth, natural just expansion and multiplication. And so our challenge is very simply is, what are we doing with the life that we have? What are we doing with the cure that God has given us, the gospel? And that's why Paul says preach in and out of season. Obviously, when it comes to Christianity, the stats say that the evangelical church is the fastest growing movement. And especially the church has moved to the south. There's been lots of things in the north that has been happening. The gospel came from Europe. But the amazing thing is, in South America, we, for instance, find in Brazil, there's almost, they estimate, 70 million out of the 200 million that are Christian, charismatic, born-again, spiritual believers. We see in China, where they've grown over 100 million Christians in the last couple of years, and there's a massive movement of the Chinese that want to go back to Jerusalem and Israel. They call it the Silk Way, or the Gospel Way, where they want to lay down their lives by going through the Muslim world. So God is doing amazing stuff as the church is moving south, and God is raising up an army of worshipers and people that will know Him and worship Him. There is almost, they say in China, 12,000 people per day that comes to salvation. I just like, wow, what an massive thing happening in places like China, in Beijing. And I've had the privilege to be there, and it's just so amazing to see the dedication of Christians there. I remember walking up one day, it took us about 4 hours to get into this church service. And they said it's a worship service. And as we were going there, I was thinking, what's going on here? You know, there's nothing. And as we came into this big hall, everybody was lying on their faces, worshiping God. But they were going with their mouths, opening up their mouths. But there was no noise coming out, no voices, because they're not allowed to worship in public. But everybody was just crying and weeping because of the presence of God. And that was a worship service. And there my life really changed, because I realized God is moving. God is doing these amazing things. And we are part of that. So many of even the missionaries that are sent to this 1040 window and all over this place come from nations like South America, China, from India. And what an amazing thing to see that many, especially women, are being raised up to go into these nations and pray and intercede and see the fullness of God come. I remember also going to a part in India. It was northeast India, where there's great persecution. Meeting some of the pastors there, where you know they would work for 364 days, and then they've got one day off. They don't have weekends, they don't have holidays, and then on that one day they'll decide they'll go up into the hills to preach the gospel. people working very hard, but very dedicated to the cause of Christ. And it's so amazing to see that, you know, we, especially in the West, must walk away from a comfortable existence with God, because God is moving, God is doing great things. For instance, a pastor in India, in those areas, you can support them financially with 150 to 180 rand a month. That's almost nothing. You know, some people can't even live without a couple of thousand. And you know what? That even the income of the world, that most people in the world live for under $2 per day. That's around about, what, 20 rand a day? Now imagine you have to live by 20 rand. You know, what are you going to buy if you have to buy bread and clothes and, you know, get a house? And there's almost, it's impossible. So lots of people are living under the poverty line. And that's why our call as Christians to go out into the world is so important. And we must go and make a difference. You know, in, for instance, a nation like Iran, I had the privilege to go there. They say that in 1979, there were less than 500. And just in 2013, there are more than a million already. Within 20 or 30 years, there's been an expansion in especially the Muslim nations. And so God is moving, and I want to encourage us to really go for it and say, yes, God, we want to see your glory cover the earth. There are lots of things happening. You can read some of the other stats. One of the things, of the prophecies that will happen before Jesus comes back, is the fact that many Jews will also turn back. You know, there's the age of the Gentiles, and then there's the age of the Jews that will come back, and then Jesus will obviously return. And lots of Orthodox Jews are turning back to Christ. Lots of priests, just being in Israel this year, just seeing the dedication of those Christians praying and seeing. And obviously God has not called us to have a Hebraic roots, go back to, you know, the Old Testament in a sense of trying to do all those rituals and things. But it's so amazing to know that there's brothers and sisters in Israel also seeking the coming of Christ. And so that's our challenge. And I want to share some challenges with us, because even these stats, as some of them are already outdated, because there's such a growth, an exponential growth. Some of the challenges that we have in the world today is specifically persecution. You know, there are lots of, most of the churches are being persecuted for their faith. Many people are suffering. Many people are disowned. But in the place of persecution, there's a massive exponential growth. I don't know, you know, going to China and places like that, I saw, they said to us in Iran especially, they said, please don't bring the gospel of the West. We don't need that. Please pray for us, but don't bring that mixture of a gospel, because it defiles the church. And I was really shocked by that statement. But then I realized that so much of what we're preaching is a culture-based theology, and not a life and living and laying down our lives for Christ. And most of the church today lives in that place, in that atmosphere of a fear for their lives many times. But it's so amazing to see what God is doing. So even in the last century, there's been more martyrs the last 100 years than in all of history before that. What a challenge for what is happening in the church. But yet God is doing it. God is growing his church. There's lots of restricted areas, and God wants us to get in there, pray for it, pray for those ethnic groups, pray for the Muslim world, pray for the places in India. And God wants us to also, with our finances, be able to get into that place where there's effective distribution of what we have. You know, most of the missionaries go to places where it's really comfortable. They don't want to go to the Muslim world, but we must trust God to raise up locals, and to also be able to establish people there that really has an apostolic call and apostolic mandate on their lives. And so my challenge to us in this session is to start to become apostolic in our hearts, and especially in our prayers. Because, you know, it's so easy to just think about ourselves or be very patriotic, you know, because many people say, no, in my nation, that's where revival is going to start. Maybe it's going to start in the East, because God says, like the coming up of the sun, the rising of the sun until it's going down, God's glory is going to manifest in the earth. And let's start to pray. Let's become apostolic as churches, as families. Get your kids to get a world map. You know, in one of my toilets, when you come to visit me at my home, there's a massive map. You know, when I sit there on the white throne and I imagine, then I look at all the nations. I say, God, I want to go to that nation. Lord, Kazakhstan and Uzbekistan and all the stuns and all the uns and all that stuff. You know, it's so amazing when we start to dream big and we stand there and we say, Lord, the nations is truly our inheritance. It's your inheritance. It's my inheritance. And as a group of people, as the church, we have got the answer to bring the fullness of God and the glory of God into those nations.